From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast today. Some gradual clearing with a high near 81 expected. Tonight, clear and 55 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and 81. Friday, sunny and 85. And by Saturday, sunny at a high near 84 degrees. Currently 70 degrees. KQEN news time is 12:34.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today, giving you another update with one of our area lawmakers on today's program. State Representative Gary Leaf is on. Gary, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Kyle. Let me take a moment and just express a belated happy 4th of July. We've not spoken since the celebration of our nation's founding, and I just want to say thank you to all the veterans out there.
And, of course, it was a very interesting fireworks show on Saturday night. People enjoyed that. A lot of things that were normally going on didn't go on, or in the case of the fireworks show in Roseburg, they had to find a new way to do it. And it's been kind of a creative time, a lot of things going on in all sectors. And of course, state governments had to do a lot of adapting as well. Let's start off with this recent special session one. Talk about, it's been obviously out for a while now, but kind of we haven't talked to you since then. Talk about your thoughts about the session.
Kyle, do you have an hour here? I was so hopeful that the special session would address the, you know, the ongoing economic challenges that the governor's COVID response. And I felt like we had an opportunity to really review many of her executive orders and enact supporting legislation. I was also hopeful that we would address many of the economic challenges and really the failure of the unemployment system, which still seems to be the number one issue in emails for me, and also talk about liability protection. But in the end, I'm not really sure why we had to hold a special session, because we were simply asked to vote on a basket of general items and then pass a new cell phone tax. Looking back on the session, I just don't know why we needed to gather if the current economic crisis wasn't going to be the focus of our work. And it also put our legislators in harm's way.
Talk about this liability protection. Talk about the liability protection legislation.
You know, I didn't understand what that was really until we started to delve down into it and when we got into our caucus. It's probably, I think, one of the most crucial challenges is the liability protection for schools and sports. And we actually had 14 Democrats agreed with 22 Republicans to address and fix the liability protection. I spoke with my Democratic chair on one of my committees yesterday, and she agreed that we needed to do that. But because she's in leadership with the Democrats, she couldn't sign the letter that the 14 Democrats signed and 22 for the bipartisan support. But instead, we sent it to a work group, which is an easy way to kill a bill. I asked my Democrat friend yesterday, please don't let this die in a work group. She agreed, so hopefully we'll have another special session soon to pass this legislation. And what this legislation is about is to be able to open schools in the fall. Schools are not going to open if they fall to the, to lawsuits.
And that's something that's been brought up a lot, talking to educators about just the times that we're in, the challenges that we're facing, and what happens if you go in and don't have that. Obviously, school districts don't have unlimited funds to deal with those kind of lawsuit situations.
Well, and it would be kind of a lawyer's paradise, you know, to be able, if your kid, you know, got COVID, and children can get the COVID virus if they're in that vulnerable group. But I would say probably 99%, 0.9% of children won't get it. You know, they have to have, you know, some special ongoing problem that makes them susceptible. And boy, lawyers will, you know, really look at that and look at it as a cash cow, in my opinion.
Now, so the work group then, do they have a timeline that they're supposed to report back or move something forward towards the next special session?
No, and oftentimes when you send it to a work group, that's a place where it dies. But because we have such bipartisan support, I believe that this will come up soon, hopefully in a session that we're going to have at the end of this month or maybe next month.
Now, also, what the governor was hoping to accomplish, too, related to bills regarding policing. What were your thoughts about what came down there?
You know, Kyle, we have three former police officers in our Republican caucus. So we really relied heavily on their amendments and their recommendations. And with the amendments, all the bills that we passed were basically, in my opinion, headlines for news outlets because police agencies already do what the bills ask them to do. There was one bill that I really liked that, but I was told that agencies kind of do the same thing, but that was to make police discipline records public by creating an online system for agencies and the public to use. So for example, if you have an officer that's being investigation problems and he or she leaves so that investigation doesn't, you know, come to some disciplinary actions, we want to make sure that whoever is hiring that individual sees what that investigation was, although there may never be an outcome. And I also believe there's a federal bill on its way as well. Our bill that we passed is just for Oregon. I think that was a good bill.
What about other things that came out of the special session? Do you feel like Republicans got enough input?
No. to make it sound bleak, it's kind of interesting. When you go into a special session, there's only two people that can bring forth bills. They're both Democrats. One's the Speaker of the House and one's the President of the Senate. So although we had some really great ideas, we can't submit any of those things. So we go by whatever the Speaker submits, in our case, because we're at the House. And so what we rely on are amendments. And we had quite a few amendments. The Dash 38 amendment, for example, was an amendment to actually bring liability protection. And like I said, instead of actually, you know, working through that, she sent it to a work group. So I don't know really why we were there, because we really didn't tackle, you know, the real important problems like unemployment, like budget falls, you know, all that stuff.
Now let's talk about the ongoing response to the economic issues being faced by small businesses, by people that have been put out of work. Do you see any progress from the State Employment Department?
You know, it's my number one problem that I get still today. I have to say, on one hand, it's gotten better for me. It's not probably gotten better for the people out there that are trying to get through and spend 3 hours and sometimes days trying to get through. But I have kind of a back door, and I'm helping just probably over 1,000 people so far just in my district. And people outside of my district are actually reaching out to me because I've been able to really help people. And David, who is the new director, you know, he's trying to do a really good job, and I think he's doing a good job for the resources that they have. But, you know, we wanted to really tackle that. We need a new, you know, employment software system. We need something where people can immediately get online, make sure that it was received, and get a response back within 48 hours. We never got to really address those things.
Now, one of the things they talk about is the computer system. I was thinking of this the other day. Went over the long weekend, the Department of Motor Vehicles did a big update on theirs, and as they put the word out there so people knew the system would be down for the three-day weekend, one of the things that the state DMV release talked about was that components of this system were from the 60s and 70s, and I had to do a double take there to just to question that and look at that and go, okay, wait a minute, a state agency is telling us that they're dealing with a computer system that's that old.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what's going on with the employment division. And oddly enough, they have $75 million that they could use to fix that problem. And what they've been doing over the last decade is they've been using the interest off of that $75 million to pay employment issues, so unemployment, for example. Why didn't we fix that? I've only been there, this would be my third year. I've only been there for a short time, but people that have been there for a long time, you know, they actually put fixes out for this that never happened. That's some of the questions that we wanted to sit down and ask at this special session. We never got to there.
And I've continued to talk to folks who have applied or tried to apply for various of the unemployment compensation programs due to the pandemic, and I've either never gotten through or never gotten a check, or in the case of one person recently, they finally got several weeks' worth of checks all at once. It seems like it's been a very troubling situation for people who need the help.
Yeah, and for those listeners out there that are having problems, if you can email me, I have some questions I'll send back to you, but I can usually get you answers pretty quickly. You just have to send it to my representative email, which is rep.garyleaf@oregonlegislature.gov. You can Google Representative Gary Leaf and you'll get it right away. But if you send me an email, I'll help you get it fixed.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Gary Leaf with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later today, Commissioner of Dirt Mike Winters has the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, County Commissioner Tom Kress will be with us. State Representative Gary Leaf on right now, covering a number of things regarding the Oregon State Legislature. Now, you said the next special session to deal with the state budget shortfall and related issues is supposed to be around the end of the month, but it doesn't sound like we've got a firm date set yet.
They have actually, I think, 10 days to give us notice, and they did that at the last session. So it wouldn't be unprecedented for us to hear, you know, this in a week or two.
And, of course, with this session, is it going to be framed much like the other one in terms of who can submit potential legislation, et cetera?
Yeah, and you know, typically we only really deal with one particular bill in a normal special session, and so it's kind of unprecedented for us to have multiple bills. I'd like to have maybe two bills this time. One is what we talked about, the protection liability, but we also need to talk about the economic impacts. You know, like our schools, for example. You know, we need to stabilize primary and secondary and post-secondary education funding for the 2019 and 20 level so that schools can avoid economic cuts in classes and services. But we also need to look at stabilizing the funding for the Oregon State Police. We've worked too hard to restore the level of trooper support, and we can't afford to lower our focus on law enforcement. And then, like I talked about, we need to modernize an unemployment system. And I'd like to really talk about repealing or delaying the implementation of the numerous taxes that were passed in the last general session, you know, like the CAT tax and some other things. And then lastly, liability protection for schools. It's essential to get kids back in school this fall.
One of the earlier proposals involved not only trimming state police, but closing a number of offices as well. Of course, OSP has not had 24/7 patrols in many places, certainly not around here, in the past few years. And not that far back, it was a goal to get back to that so that there would not be times when the county agencies, city agencies have to step in because no one from OSP is on duty in a particular region.
So I was championing that bill back in the short session, which was to bring them back at like 1960 levels. That's how far out we are right now. And if you look at per 100,000, Oregon is, I think, the lowest or the second lowest in the United States per capita. And we just cannot afford to do any more cuts. We need to get them back to regular. The problem is, where do you get the money? I mean, every single department and agency is going to say the same thing. You know, we can't afford to cut. Well, if you've got 17% of your $30 billion general fund, plus your other taxes, gas tax and stuff that are down, where do you make up the revenue? I mean, it's a really, really important question, and it's not something you can handle in 3 days. I mean, this is going to take some real serious discussions, and we need to be open and transparent so that people outside of the Capitol come in and testify. We didn't have that at the last session. I mean, you could phone in, you could call in, but it wasn't like, you know, generally you could sit in the audience and say, you know, hey, I want to testify before this bill and put my name on it.
And what was it like being in this session, the special session, versus the other ones, with all the things that changed with spacing of people around the rooms and things like that?
Yeah, I was, you know, I kind of laughed because I stayed at my desk most of the time, I think almost all the time, because really that was the safest place to be. And when the speaker would call for a vote, they did it in, normally you have, you know, 1 minute to make your vote, you know, and then they do a call vote with minutes, and they would call you out in groups. And so you're passing each other in the hallway. I mean, you're within a foot or two, and that just didn't seem to be really practicing social distancing. So the best way for our caucus was just stay at your desks. But I have 50 people at your desk, and we had 60 plus staff. So it was kind of weird, you know. That was the way I handled it. Just stay at my desk, bring my computers down there, and just deal with it that way.
Around Oregon, particularly in Eugene and Portland, we're seeing the ongoing protest situation. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I really believe all citizens have a constitutional right to protest, but they do not have a constitutional right to destroy private property and illegally occupy public spaces. More importantly, they don't have the right to attack and kill other people. So I have no issue with a peaceful protest that have been occurring. Clearly, we are a country divided right now on many issues, and we need to find common ground and new legislation. But we cannot and should not allow domestic terrorists or other groups to use violence and destruction as a normal course of operation. We're a country built on the rule of law. And that law allows and encourages free speech and free protests. But it also does and must require that we enforce laws requiring property destruction and murder.
The protests have been going for quite some time now. Do you see them at some point this summer lessening a bit? I know that one group has been pulling back in the Portland area, or is going to be, and moving to doing weekly events, but we're still seeing a lot of activity out there late at night, early in the morning.
You know, we're very, very lucky to live, you know, in Southern Oregon, in a community that has great law enforcement. They do really a great job working with the public, and my hat's off to them. I'll stand behind them every minute, every moment of time. The problem is, I think leadership in the larger metropolitan areas they don't have that great law enforcement level of protection. They're being told to stand down, leave it alone, and what happens is it escalates into, you know, people, you know, being killed people's public property being destroyed and businesses being shut down. And I think that's wrong. And so I believe until, you know, the local, you know, appropriate, whoever that might be, city council, mayors, whoever that is, ask law enforcement to step up, they're going to have a they're going to have a lot of problems, I think.
Final question. How are you connecting with people this summer without the larger events that you could normally meet people at, like the fair?
Yeah, you know, it's not so bad for me. It's really troubling because that's, you know, I've had the meet your elected officials for, I think, 5 years now or 6 years. And it's a way for people to go out and not just meet me, but I did it with, when I was a commissioner. 3 years in a row we had that booth. I mean, I did it now as a legislator. And we had, you know, Senator Hurd, Senator or Representative Hayden, Representative Brock Smith, you know, all of us at the fair to be able to talk with people. And we don't have that ability right now. That's unfortunate. But the real problem is, you know, some of these fundraising events like CASA and CARES and, you know, all the children, you know, agencies that really need that fundraising, they don't have that ability now.
All right, out of time for the moment. State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Follow my Facebook page. Thank you.
1258 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.